The rule is midah, and your God, and your great kedusha will come and be a benefit to all of Klal Yisrael. You are going to be the shaitim, the dayanim, and the rosh yeshiva by Klal Yisrael. We came for blessings, Tati. No, I came for good. And I bless you by cursing your car. See? We would have never appreciated such things. It's the Torah teaching us how truth outweighs feeling, parental feeling. And in the same vein, even more explicit, the first medrash in Shmois Rabbah. It's a devastating medrash. That medrash mentioned that Avraham Avinu, the great Avraham, whose greatness is beyond today's human comprehension, you can't even dream who Avraham was, nevertheless had a son, Yishmael. No one in this generation wants to have a son like this. Yitzchak Avinu, an Ola Tmima, a person who isn't Matziach Das, 1 minute of his lifetime from Avodas Hashem, 1 minute, it's a Nefesh HaChaim. You're not Matziach, a few Rega Echo, Kol Chayayim, with only Rotsn Hashem, Rotsn Hashem, Rotsn Hashem, unbelievable. Had a son, Esau, and I think any Yid in the world today would like to have such a son. Terrible, no? David Melech Yisroel. Ne'im Zmirayt Yisroel. Had a son, Avshalom. A son, Adoniyahu. Who were rebels against Malchus Beis David. Avshalom held it is the greatest mitzvah to murder David HaMelech. And he organized the majority of Klal Yisrael to go to war, and their purpose was to capture David and murder him. And that will bring the Yeshua to Klal Yisrael. Such a son, Adoniyah, in the last dying days of David, when he was cut off from the world, almost in seclusion he was living, he had almost no temperature at all. They, even when they covered him with blankets, he was still freezing. He was so old and cold. Adoniyah suddenly proclaims himself to be Melech. He gets Yoav ben Tzruya to join him, and one of the Nevi'im to join him, one of the Kayanim to join him, and he makes a banquet in the Hilton, gets everyone to come, gives souvenirs, yeah? Over one Shmolgiz bull, he's taking the whole royal family with him except this morning. Who would want to have such a son? And they were both put to death, both of them. Who would want to have such a son? And David had two like this. Do you know what Chazal say here? And I don't want you to miscomprehend. When we are criticizing, when a medrash or a gemara criticizes any of the Ovei Hakdoshim or the tzaddikim of the first generation, this is a criticism which we hear in simple language, but which actually means, it means a person would take would have eyeglasses. look through the eyeglasses. It's a very slight scratch on it. But he complains. When I look at people, that scratch shows up and it's disturbing my vision, gets on my nerves. So, he wants a huge discount from the optometrist to giving him such a scratch pair of glasses. The optometrist says, why such a discount? How big of a discount? Well, I want you to return me $5,750. He says the whole pair of glasses doesn't. Well, I once witnessed something very similar, and there was a rebate of $5,750. I don't see why I should get less. What did you see? I was standing in a jeweler's shop, and someone had purchased a diamond. He came back a few days later, and I was there in the store, and he came back, and he said, you told me that this is a perfect diamond with no scratches. And I went to a mumche, he said, and he took a look at one of these, you know, magnifying glasses. He showed me very slight scratches, very, very slight, impurity. He said he sold this to you that it's completely clean stone. Yes. How much did you pay for it? $10,000. No, he had to give you back $5,750. This is what the Gemological Institute in this crisis says, for that little impurity, that's what it's worth. And he had to give him back $5,750. I want $5,750 back here for the scratch on my glasses. You must be kidding. A thing which is worth $10,000. And I thought it clean, and it turns out not to be entirely clean. All right, it's a very big difference. 100% clean stone and not 100% make a very big difference. Pair of glasses, the whole thing cost $100. You want $5,750 back for the scratch. We're talking about Ovos Habdoshim. In simple terms, that there's a criticism. And we're going to really think that we understand what we're talking about. Ovos Habdoshim were pure diamonds. Gems. You can use an electron microscope. You wouldn't find the slightest impurity in them. Of a Hashem Yisbarach Shemoi can find an impurity, an imperfection. And in the Torah Hakdosha it will be stated, either in Torah Shebetzav or in Torah Shebal Peh. And we're going to read it, we're going to study it, and we're going to imagine that we know what's being referred to. And we are mistaken. This impurity, as far as our vision is concerned, and all the magnifying glasses that we have, will never show up in any text. It's only Hashem Yisbarach is teaching us. I desire perfection, and I'm teaching you that if I find an imperfection, I notice. As far as we are concerned, Avraham Avinu was perfect. I had to bring this to your knowledge and notice, otherwise you can misunderstand what I'm saying. Because I'll say that the overwhelming admiration and affection which Avraham Avinu had to his first son, Yishmael, prevented him from being 100% strict with Yishmael. So he was 99.9999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999 Now we don't know the difference. The Chazal say, therefore Yishmael turned out to be what he was. Yitzchok Avinu, it says, Vayehav Yitzchok et Esav. The Torah's revealing something, that the Avor prevented him from being 100% strict with him. Slightly less. Came out an Esav. David HaMelech, with these two sons, was not 100% strict. In other words, he did not admonish them for everything they did. One or two things he was a bit lenient because of an amount of love which was a little bit exaggerated. So they turned out to be what they were. More revealing is the rest of the matter. How come Yitzchak Avinu turned out to be perfect? How come? Because his father Avram, who your miyasai, extremely strict, was mechanechim on the finest point, never allowed him to get away with anything. I'm not saying a person should be angry with a child, should be vicious. No, it's just they have to teach him everything. With a smile. You have to be an educator, a psychologist. But you don't let him get away with anything, because any little perfection, the age of 20 and 30 will be a gigantic tumor by that time. How come Yaakov Avinu turned out perfect? But Yitzchak Avinu was extremely strict. No meaning. How come Yaakov Avinu succeeded with all 12 sons to bring tzaddikim to this world? There's no taina in the world against Reuven or Shimon and Levi, al pi halacha, what they did. No. There was tzaddikim gemurim. It was the way that they performed once in their lives a certain action, that he had a taina to them and they need them and told them, even though you've done tshuva since then, you know, but anyone who did that cannot have this station in Klal Yisrael or need this cure to mend the grave. But tzaddikim, who in the world ever succeeded like Yaakov Avinu? What does Chazal say? Mitosai Shleimo, which means every child born to him is a complete tzaddik. And each one of the Shvotim was like to a shvua and a bris from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he will be eternal. You know what that means? Yimirei, to like kolo shivta, which means no Shevet will ever become extinct in this world. There will always be someone from the Reuven, from Shimon, from Levi, from Yehuda, etc. They must remain always as descendants of them. They are eternal. 12 sons, all perfect. Each one's different and they're all perfect. You know what Chazal say? Oh, you're Yankes Miyaskon. Never allow them to get away from them. So they came out first. And that's why, when they come down in the triumph, Eilish might the night all of one time, Ace Yaakov! Hishvon HaKosov LeYaakov Kulam Tzadikim Kamayhu. Can you imagine? If you're a father of 12 children and you're Yankees and the title will say that they're like the father, can you imagine a greater nachas in a lifetime of him? So Chazal said, how? Why? Perfect chinuch. No vitulin. No compromises. Once again, doesn't mean strict with an angry face. It's taking time and teaching every child and not letting them get away with anything. This silly was dressed to his grandfather today. Yeah, the little child, what does he know? You don't go and smack him around. No, my father. God tells us to respect. Maybe there's thousands of mitzvahs in his lifetime. Hashem loves him. Don't you think you have to be, but you know, you teach. You know, there's these type of parents, the silly parents. Every Avela almost at the child, there is a little child when you look. The child spilled something on the carpet. All the Avelas in the world is a little silly child. But as soon as he gets your goat, he becomes a vicious criminal. Send him to Alcatraz. That's how it is. Why? You're not living for what Hashem wants, and that's why you're living for your own comfort. And as soon as the child discomforts you, so we're learning here that Yaakov Avinu, his major midah, which set down the foundations of Klal Yisrael, was midas ha'emek. He never was bribed by an infatuation with a child, a nachas from a child. He was always looking to bring perfect individuals into this world. Midas ha'emek. Chazal said it quite often. He was Isaac, all of his children being tzaddikim. And I just wanted to mention, I have a great difficulty in speaking tonight. I wanted to mention that when Yosef brought his son to be blessed by Yaakov Avinu, so naturally he placed Menashe beside the right hand of Yaakov, because he's the Bechayim, and the Ephraim next to the left hand of Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov was very old, could hardly see. And he did something very unusual, as you all know. Instead of placing his hands as they are, right hand to his right, and the left hand to the left. See, Caleb, your dog, they crossed. And the right hand went on Ephraim, who was to his left, and the left hand went on Menashe, who was to his right. Yosef noticed this and was very disturbed by it. It is, in the eyes of Yosef, and in our eyes initially, an act contrary to the Rotzen of Hashem Yisbolach Shemayim. A Bechayel, if he's being blessed at the same time as a younger child, deserves the right hand to be placed on his head, and the younger one deserves the left hand. And Yaakov Avinu was doing the opposite. He's going out of his way to do the opposite. Yosef seeing this, and imagining that his father had committed an error, al-fi halacha, so it's against the Rotzen of Hashem Yisbolach. Besides, do an act for which he was trained by his father. The emes comes first. And all his might, he attempts to lift the hand of Yaakov, the right hand, from the head of Ephraim, in order to bring it over to the head of Menashe. and the hand refuses to budge. And let's remember, Yaakov Avinu is in his last days, extremely weak and frail. Yosef is in his greatest prime, the tyrant ruling over Mitzrayim with an iron hand. With all his might, he's trying to budge, and of Yaakov, it doesn't move. He doesn't give up, Yosef. He's been trained to be my Nefesh Ta'emet. So he opens his mouth and he says, "My hang Avi, it is incorrect what you've done. The Nashid the Bechayr, Sim Yotcha Olah, Aloysha. Place your right hand on the Bechayr." We melt away in fear. I can't imagine myself ever saying anything near to that. The Chazinesh the Chayim of Rocha. The Bliss the Rav. I would tell you what I think. My teeth would fall out of my mouth. My tongue would slip back. To say this, the Yaakov of me, these ways. Hasi, you taught me, Emes. And if I think that because of your old age and your poor eyesight, you made a mistake here, I'm obligated by the will of Hashem to tell you the truth, and I'm saying it. Do we see Yaakov Avinu lifting up his hand and saying, "Max, he is a husband"? On one hand, he's extremely proud. Oh, this is one of my sons, and this is Emes. If you'll ever see an Adam Gadol committing an Aveira, a Shkogar, he'll go over to him, right? Politely, respectfully, and he'll tell him, "Ben Mechila and Saida, you've made a mistake." He's not going to let him get away with it. As long as we're going to fight for the Emes, there will be a cloudy soil. In the day, Cholila, when we would all become politicians, in parentheses, liars, close parentheses, that's when everything is finished. As long as there's Emes, as long as people can't get away with everything that they do, there'll be a cloudy floor. You know, people hate the truth, but they respect it. They love lies. Deep down, they have great contempt. Remember this. People bathe in lies their whole life, but deep down, what could be worse than that? Truth? People don't like people who speak the truth, but they respect them. I once lived in a different country. In that country, the first and last commandments were the same. Thou shalt not say the truth. And I was an avalion. I was a criminal. Thank you. I was over on those commands. I was over to have a number of enemies, is perhaps a harsh word. There are more diplomatic words. We'll call them enemies. This is what they were. And it's very interesting. One said, 11:45 at night, there was a knock on our door. The country is England. What happens when someone knocks on your door at 11:45 at night or phones you at that time? The salutation is, "I hope I'm not disturbing." That's shekel, Brahma. You're knocking on my door at 11:45 and you're hoping, take that, sure. He's not disturbing me, he hopes. He comes in and he tells me that he has a friend who has the following terrible problem. And someone has advised him to come to me, I may be able to give advice. And he can't tell me who that friend is who sent him. Why can't you tell me? Well, I didn't ask him that. You don't ask such questions to me. You're excommunicated. An invasion of privacy. Ask who sent you. Well, I know why. The person who sent you is an enemy of mine. Why is he an enemy? Because I speak the truth now and then. Why did he send it to me? He told them, I hate his guts, but he's the only one who'll give you a true piece of advice, not laced with politics and self-esteem. If you want the truth, go to him, don't tell him I sent him. And I was very flattered. This is the biggest haskama you can get when your enemies say that you're the only one who speaks the truth. I once told a Talmud of mine that I'm not proud of my Talmudim, I'm proud of my enemies. When I see who they are, I want to have them as enemies. I don't want to have them as friends. And then, so I learned from that. These evil individuals, these low politicians, deep down, they respect the truth, and they have contempt for politics and lies. But they can't get out of it themselves. But they know where to go. Who used to come to the Chazanish for advice? You'd be surprised. People who were against everything the Chazanish lived for. But they took the Emmet. You have a problem, you want the truth. You don't go to a doctor when you have a machla. A doctor will just give you a little bit of perfume and say it's nothing and go home. You want a doctor who will really cure you. You used to come to him, unbelievable. And they're the ones who used to send others with their problems. They were too ashamed to come. Yaakov Avinu, he's very proud of Yosef. If Yosef thought that he's making a mistake, he tried to push him, and he told him, he opened his mouth and said it to him. He said, Yosef, I'm very proud of you. I have news for you though. You're Yodati, Bani Yodati. I'm older than you. I'm wiser than you. I have more Ruach HaKodesh than you. I know everything that you know. Yodati. To me, you're Dati, and I know much more than you. I know a few things that you don't know. Menashe is going to grow up to be a Sheva, and from him will come out a very great person from the Sheva Yisrael, Gidai. And a great miracle in Yeshua will be performed by Hashem Yisborach through Gidai. Abu Ochev Akotan Yigdal Mimenu. The younger one, Ephraim, will be a Sheva, and he's going to produce in this world Yeshua ben Nun, who will do far more than Gidon. He is going to bring Klal Yisrael across the Yarden and El Yisrael as one of the greatest feats in the history of the world. They'll come alive, they will arrive there, coming into a country which is armed to the teeth, and they're going to all come in. And he's going to capture it for them and distribute the portion for every kid. He is going to be the first Rebbe of Ganz Klal Yisrael to teach them Torah in Eretz Yisrael. And he's going to perform a miracle one day which the entire world civilization will witness. He's going to have their sun and the moon stop dead in their tracks for a few hours until he finishes a certain battle. Because we only wage aim milchoma balayla. Milchoma is by yayin. And he kept the clock back so it should remain yayin. And every guy in the world who saw this, every nation, what's this? Eventually, TBS wasn't born yet. This is what the eighth, which gave birth to TBS. So months later, the eighth arrived and said that was one of the Jewish leaders appealed to his Almighty to stop the sun and the moon until he finished his work for that day. Can you imagine what the world was able to see? He says, you don't.